Hi, guys. Thank you for your continued support of the Paleo Solution Podcast. I also wanted to take a moment and thank two of our wonderful podcast sponsors. The first is Thrive Market. Thrive is a new online marketplace offering the world's best-selling natural and organic products at wholesale prices. If Costco and Whole Foods Online got together at a rave and got liquored up, their child would look a lot like Thrive Market. So the way that Thrive works, for less than $5 a month, about $59.95 annually, you get a membership that gives you access to more than 2,500 of the highest quality food, supplement, home, personal care, and beauty products. Those are all delivered straight to your door and at 25 to 50% below retail price. Orders above $49 are free, but that's only in the continental United States. RobWolf.com followers get a free two-month Thrive Market membership, as well as 20% off of your first order. So go to thrivemarket.com/RobWolf, and you can get in on that deal. Our second podcast sponsor is Hyleet. Check out Hyleet's innovative athletic apparel at Hyleet.com. If you love Hyleet, and I absolutely do, you can love a whole lot more of them, because if you enter the code ROBWOLF50, ROBBWOLF50, you receive a holy cat's worthy 50% off your purchase. Thank you again, and it's time for the show. Hi, folks. Rob Wolf here, another edition of the Paleo Solution Podcast. Very excited for today's guest. Aaron Alexander has a really interesting, eclectic background. He's an NSCA certified personal trainer, a high-level body worker, and has founded a bodyworking and integrative movement system up in Bend, Oregon called Align Therapy. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Rob. Thank you so much. I so greatly appreciate you having me on here, because I love everything that you've put out there. I love your attitude. I love what we were talking about before we were chatting in regards to kind of like bringing life back to paleo, bringing life back to movement, bringing life back to what we're doing, getting out of just biceps and abs and, you know, eating the perfect imaginary diet. Thanks.
Thank you.
Before
you
started. Thank you.
Thank you. It's oftentimes not well received, because I think people just want, you know, five quick tips to paleo abs and stuff like that. And I think trying to convey nuance and that, you know, there's different ways to skin the cat and whatnot, not always super well received. Nuance requires some thinking and some thought about how folks integrate things into their own lives. So thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, man, so that was a paltry introduction as to your background. Flesh out your background significantly for folks so they know who they're listening to.
Yeah, I'll try to be as expedited of this as possible, because that can be kind of boring, I know.
Be verbose. Electrons are free, so no worries.
Right. Yeah, so I started off in personal training realm, you know, and so I started off figuring out how to make myself be better at athletics. That translated into making people better at athletics. That was about 12 years ago that I kind of really got into the journey and got, you know, certified through ACE and whatever. And then from there, I got really interested in helping people that were in pain, or helping people that were structurally funny. You know, it wasn't just about I want abs, you know, or I, you know, it's like, what about the person that has back pain and is, you know, me doing bicep curls isn't really doing anything, but, you know, just growing them out in this mutated form. So I got into body work. You know, so from there, I studied massage therapy. I studied the Rolf Institute, got into Rolfing, which we can get into that if you want to. I don't know if a lot of people know exactly what that is. And then just studied all over the place, very vocational with my education. I studied psychology at the University of Hawaii for a while, and just really intrigued by what the heck this human experience is exactly. You know, I think that it's very easy to wrap it up into this nutshell, you know, this model, you know, we relate it. It's like, well, it's like a steam engine, or it's like a computer, you know, whatever. It's like, what about deeper than that? You know, so it's like every time you think you know what's going on, you get to the point, you realize, holy heck, I don't know what is happening here.
Right.
So that kind of continues the education with that. And since from there, realized that I had been doing a lot of really similar techniques with people. And these techniques are techniques that they can do themselves. You know, so now I've become somewhat of a self-care aficionado and teaching people how to utilize balls and bands and foam rollers, you know, or anything in order to take care of themselves. And then combining that with integrative movement practice, which again, what the heck does that mean? We can get into it as we go. But that's kind of ballpark roundabout what I do.
Awesome, man. I'm curious. when folks go into coaching, I'm always intrigued by what they gravitate towards. Like you have some people that they really, it seems like the end all be all of their existence is to work with like a professional athlete or something like that. They're dealing with these high functioning people, which I think is great. It's great. But then I've also, I've had a, you know, some brushes with that stuff and it's intriguing, but I had a very concrete sense that I could be there or I could not be there. And this person was going to succeed. They were going to go to the NFL or go to the UFC or whatever. And it really didn't matter whether I was there, like literally a cardboard cutout of me could have done about as good a job as what I did, you know, and I'm being a little facetious, but people who are broken, people who have metabolic issues, they have GI problems, they have shoulder impingement, and they think that they maybe are facing a knee replacement or something like that. But really what we have are some, you know, misplaced movement elements and scar tissue and stuff. I really feel like those people with a good coach can literally their life can be saved and transformed. And so I'm always curious why people pick a particular route and what spins the dials in their brain. Like why did you grab, you're a good looking guy and full of energy and you're youthful and smart and excited. Why did you pick to work with broken people? Like where's the fun broken in that? People.
We're all broken, Rebel.
We're really all broken people. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The thing is, it's like everyone, so the body is this brilliant compensation machine, you know, so it's able to hold on to so much stuff. When you roll your ankle, when you pull your shoulder, you know, when you sleep in that crooked position, your body immediately needs to reassemble itself, reorganize itself so that it can hold you up in an upright posture so you can make it to that job interview or to that date or whatever it is that you want to do. You know, so it's not like, it's kind of like craziness, you know, it's like, oh, well that person, he's depressed, you know, or he's crazy. It's like, it's just a different realm on the spectrum. It's just a different point on the spectrum. You know, so some people are more broken, some people are less broken, but we're all dealing with the same thing. You know, we've been working with this, you know, through like yoga for thousands of years. You know, we've been working on trying to crack how to live effectively in our body for thousands of years, millions of years, documented for thousands. You know, so I think it's an interesting thing to work with high-level athletes. I've done quite a bit of that as well, you know, because you get to kind of see, it's like the disc brakes that originally came from, I believe it was like NASCARs, like Formula One cars, high-level race cars, right? So we get to learn like, oh, okay, we use these disc brakes. They work well for these professional athletes. That translates well to the standard human being as well. You know, so I think it's not so much it's like the broken person. You look at a lot of high-level athletes and their bodies are, they're broken, you know, like professional bicyclists. You know, if you're hunched over in a bike all day long, you know, and just contracting your musculature and forming into that shape, I would call that fixed.
Right. And you know, I guess you could say they're quite well adapted for that particular modality and then horribly adapted for everything off of the bike. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But then it gets really exciting working with every other person, you know, because it's so relevant to the world. Right. You know, it's like giving back to the 1%. You know, it's like the 1% that have $1 million, like we need to give them another couple million. It's like, what if we give back to the 99%? And that might have a larger global impact on our species as a whole. You know, so getting into the people, and as well, just from like a business model, if you're working with people that are, you know, the 99%, you're going to have more people coming in your door.
Right. I get pangs all the time from folks that are asking, you know, how do I crack into this market? How do I do this stuff? And usually if I see the want to work with professional athletes, I'm like, be comfortable with probably starving for a very long time, possibly forever, because to your point, there just aren't that many of them around. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And then it's fun getting into working with like the normal Joe as well, you know, because the interesting thing with the body is it's a manifestation of what's happening, how we're feeling at a deeper level, you know? And so everyone's seen the study where it's like, when you're standing in an upright position, your testosterone increases and your cortisol levels decrease. And, you know, and then when you come into that hunched over defeated position, all of a sudden testosterone decreases, cortisol goes up, you know? And it's like, our bodies have integrated all of these different movement patterns over the years, you know, telling ourselves what's happening in our world. Is there a saber-toothed tiger out there? Should I hunch over? You know, and that's what we're end up doing with people that are working on computers all day. People that are sitting on the bus, sitting in the car, you know, sitting in the plane, hunching over, looking at their notepad, you know, and literally that ends up telling your physiology that something is wrong.
Right.
You know, and that to me is the most exciting thing, you know, bringing life into movement, bringing life into body work, into personal training, into yoga. You know, it's more than just fitting into this model. You know, it's about how well do you operate with your family? How well do you operate in your relationships? How well do you operate in your business? All that relates to how you move in your physical body. Is that like way too out there, Rob?
No. That's, you know, given that the universe is infinite, I don't know that it's outside any bounds. So I think that's fine. I've had something I've noodled on for a while. Maybe you have some insight on this. A lot of folks, I know you tackle everything, soup to nuts, you know, movement, nutrition, lifestyle, like very integrated approach. I've noticed that, you know, I will get a lot of pushback on nutrition, you know, suggestions. Nutrition Sure. can be like a religion. There can be a lot of fear around nutritional changes. Certain Yeah. lifestyle recommendations that I make, you know, like sleep more, I can have people just aghast at that. Right. But I've found usually a reasonably open, you know, group of folks when I make some suggestions about, hey, buy a foam roller, get a tennis ball, hang a pull-up bar in all of your doors. And as you walk through the doors, just hang from the, you know, these bars to stretch out your lats and get that kyphosis that you have going on. Try to start remedying that. Do you agree with that? Like, do you feel like folks are a little more willing to tackle some of the movement stuff and really make it part of their person? Or do I have some selection bias there?
So generally speaking, with the folks that I work with, it ends up starting off, if you end up coming to me, it's usually because you've gone to every chiro and PT or whatever it may be, and you still have pain in your hamstring or your butt or your back or whatever it is. And then, you know, so I get people oftentimes that are kind of like end of the line, you know, I'll do anything. You know, but yeah,
desperation is a good motivator. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Pain causes people to change. You know, it's a really interesting thing that it's like, everything's fine. If everything moves, if we slowly move off the cliff, people just keep on marching there on their way. As soon as this disastrous, painful experience, we got to change. Right. You know, so I get a lot of those people. So they're willing to listen to me, which is fantastic. But yeah, as far as, you know, adapting your lifestyle to fit a more upright, strong, stable, integrated position, that's the whole thing. So like hanging, you know, that's something that unless you're a gymnast or a rock climber or a, you know, an ape, like we don't really get to utilize that aspect of ourselves. These shoulders are built to hang, you know, and that's one of the reasons that things like Olympic lifting is pretty cool, because it's opening up that overhead flexion, that full integrated reach from your hands down all the way into your feet. You know, so there's a lot of different models that can help people out with this, you know, but just as simple as that, just hanging, playing with scapular retraction. Mm-hmm. So your scapula, the little butterfly wings on your back there, just playing with integrating those guys, developing, I describe it as a conversation. You know, as we're moving around in the world, we are in this little 2x2 bubble in front of our face. You know, we're looking forward, we're looking down at the sidewalk, we're looking down at our cell phones, you know, and it's like, does anyone know what their back looks like? You know, has anyone ever really felt into their feet? Has anyone felt in the back of their leg? What is that? You know, and that's the thing that I think that there's a lot of room for improvement with that, of just starting a movement practice, you know, and really looking at your exercise or whatever it is not just I'm working out. It's I'm practicing my movement. I'm getting intrigued by how well I can move in this system, my full range of motion. You know, and so that's kind of the path that I end up taking people, is getting excited about doing things like hanging, doing things like picking something off the ground well. You know, sometimes people just need to take a dance class. You know, sometimes like that's going to be the most impactful thing for that person. You know, it's going to be way better than any band exercise I can give them is them finding a partner and doing some tango.
Right.
You know?
I could not agree more. Given all that stuff, so like the tango example would be some pretty specific customization, like looking at what the person's psychology and their physiology and, you know, kind of where they're at. Maybe it's a good social piece that they need, and that's part of their overall package that maybe is lacking. Given all that stuff, though, what are there a few, you know, movement musts that you have? You know, I kind of feel like hanging and back bends are kind of like, if you had the one-stop shop to get the most, you know, bang for your buck for undoing what we experienced today, it's like some sort of hip bridge, back bend plus hanging. If you had a program minimum like that, that would be pretty legit. Like, what are your thoughts around that?
Back bends are interesting because a lot of people lack what's called thoracic extension, you know, which I know you know what that is. You know, and so a lot of people end up being stuck in this forward flexed out position, you know, hyperkyphosis. You know, and say so they need to move those facet joints, the discs, the plates that their spine, their vertebrae are sliding on. A lot of people are stuck in this hunched over caveman position. So if you tell that individual you got to do, you know, 10 minutes of back bend a day, very likely they're going to end up stressing out their lumbar spine, you know, and so where that extension would have been more of a global curve, now all of a sudden it's this hyper drastic curve in their lumbar discs and everything else isn't moving still. You know, and so it's figuring out first, how do we develop the axial skeleton, you know, the vertebra, the spine, all that, so that it has that full range of motion, that full range of potential movement. And then from there, then we add on movement practice, you know, and so, you know, a technique for just because we're talking about that, and I'll get into some like archetypal positions I think everyone should be doing as well, but focused on the thoracic spine, you know, you can get yourself a foam roller or a ball or whatever it may be, place that ball in the middle of your spine there, like right in the middle of the back behind your heart. Oftentimes people are going to be kind of stuck up in there, and you could lay on that and start contracting backward. Right? So start really activating the musculature in that space, developing the conversations, the analogy I always use with that, right? If you're speaking French up here and that your spine speaks Spanish, you're going to have a really awkward way of moving, and it's going to show up in your sports or your, you know, whatever it is that you do. You know, so first, can we move that space, right? And then from there, can we add complex movements on top of that? You know, and so it's developing that really strong foundation first, and then layers, layers, layers. And eventually, your movement practice, it just looks like play. You know, if you're playing, if you look at, you know, monkeys or bonobos or whatever, their bodies move pretty well.
Right.
You know, they're moving with nature all the time. It has to. You know, and so they don't have dumbbells or kettlebells, but they're in phenomenal shape. You know, they play. But what we've done is we've gotten so far away from our sophistication with being able to just play dynamically in our body. You know, now we need to slow things down and kind of, you know, really almost like reverse engineer what we've done to ourselves through sitting in desks, through wearing high-heeled shoes, through sitting in buses, and just like our whole life gets brought to us as opposed to us going to it. You know, and so then from there, squats, deadlifts, hangs.
I like it. Yeah. You
know, it hangs and pulls.
Hangs and pulls for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. I like it. That's been something that's been hard for me to really come to terms with. And I talked with Katie Bowman a little bit about this. So I try to do some old dude Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is a lot of play if it's done well, and lots of movement, you know, all kinds of interesting opportunities for movement there. But I find that I need to do like some monostructural cardio to just have that aerobic base. I don't push a wheelbarrow or swing a hammer or anything with enough frequency to build that aerobic base. I do a lot of computer-based work. And so I find myself that I need to my best stuff I've figured out for that, the most enjoyable, is put on a weight vest and go for a walk around my house. Weather doesn't always accommodate. Timing doesn't always accommodate. So every once in a while, I'll find myself at the Globo Gym on a treadmill, set at 15, and just kind of hump it along. And it is soul-sucking. And I'm like, do I really like it? Like it definitely gives me a great performance boost at JITS. Like I don't get tired. I don't get burned out. I don't go totally anaerobic and then I'm blown out after a couple of rounds. I have some good wind, but I got to tell you the cost benefit deal, just from a psychological perspective, the complete lack of play in building that aerobic base is almost worth completely sucking at JITS to, you know, to forego that. Does that make sense?
Right.
I mean, what do you think about that? And I mean, what would be some better options for me versus getting, so for me, again, like I'm pretty fast twitch, pretty explosive, don't have problems there, but definitely building that aerobic engine, that's something that I need to do and need to maintain. How do I do that in a way that I don't want to kill myself?
Yeah. Well, so since, you know, you're the quintessential paleo guy, Rob, you know, it's like on Thursday, you are out for a 2-day adventure with your buddies and you track down a woolly mammoth and you sprinted after it and you had to jump up on top of it and then you had to stab it down and then you had to carry it back. And then you came back and you had some, you know, made some love with your wife because you're a hero. And then you passed out and you ate meat for a day, you know, like. There's so much diversity that happened in that 3-day experience, you know, and that adaptation, that's what our body craves.
Right.
Right. You know, so you're probably not going to hunt a woolly mammoth down, you know, but if you might have a big hill in your neighborhood, in your town, your city, you know, whatever it is, you know, so I think it's adapting to your environment, you know, and if your environment sucks, move. Is my thought.
Absolutely.
You know, like you become your environment, you know? Right. So if you live in a city and you don't have, it's just a flat city and nothing but skyscrapers and business and money. And you know, like that's what we do. We wear our suits and we wear our high heels. If that's what you want to become fit for, kudos. Perfect. You're in the perfect spot. Right. But if it's not, you're developing roots into that space. You're becoming more and more that person. You know, so I think that's one of the things is we get stuck on complacency. You know, it's like, I need to be in this spot because why? You know, sometimes maybe we need to make bigger shifts if we feel like we need to change our practice like that. But then beyond that, you know, like I said, run up a hill, jump in a cold river. Oh, you know, before I came on with you, that was what I did. You know, I was on the way here. I was like, I had a little bit of a later night last night, you know, and I was like, all right, I'm going to jump in the cold river. I'm going to go for a swim. I'm going to swim up against the current. I'm going to do that for 10 minutes. And I'm going to ride my bike to my office, you know, and then when I get to my office, I'm going to do some overhead presses because I have a barbell in my office. Thank God. You know, and then it's just all those little things. How do we start implementing little tools that we enjoy? We genuinely enjoy doing this stuff in every aspect of the day. You know, so I can tell you what I do, you know, and what I, you know, suggest to certain people after I meet them and know their personality. But as far as a global thing, like everyone needs to, you know, break dance and jump in cold rivers, like that doesn't apply to everybody.
Right. Although that would be amazing. I mean, we would have a pretty amazing world if everybody did that. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, run us through maybe a day or two of your movement and your training. And, you know, I have a somewhat related question in that regard. I have found that I really enjoy just doing movement or workout snacks versus main courses. Like, and particularly now that we've added kids to the mix. Carving out an hour to just go do something is really hard and it's just annoying. Like it's one more thing I need to schedule in. Whereas like even if I have a very busy work day, I have multiple 5 and 10 minute breaks. And if I've got a bar loaded and a pull-up bar and some gymnastics rings and the ability, we now live on a 2.5 acre farm. And so I can go sprint to my back 40 and come back in and, you know, lift some weights real quick and do some, you know, pseudo planche push-ups and stuff. I do find that I enjoy that a lot more. How do you break that stuff up? And where do you see the efficacy with all that type of stuff?
As far as nutrition or as far as movement?
As far as movement.
Movement. Yeah. So I was talking with Erwin LaCour from MoveNet. I'm sure you're familiar.
Very good friend of mine. Erwin, yeah.
Right. Awesome. You know, and one of the things that we were chatting about was that is, you know, I call this objective-based fitness, you know, where it's everything. It's not about the experience of what I'm doing. It's about getting to rep 10. It's about losing 4,500 calories. It's about whatever, you know, whatever that number is, which ends up disassociating ourselves from that experience of being there. You know, it's like you finally, you're kissed the girl, you know, and you're at the head of the ship, and it's like the sun is coming and the breeze is coming through and the mist, and you know, you're in love and you kiss the girl, and then you pull out your iPhone and you take a picture of it. Don't do that.
Right.
You know, like you can't capture that moment with your freaking iPhone. You know, like just be in the moment. You know, and so what that ends up looking like is I like to do things like slacklining. You know, mm-hmm. I like to do things like rock climbing. I like to do things like jujitsu. I like to do things like dance, you know, where it's not, you get to the end of it and your gi is just drenched and, you know, or whatever it is. And you don't even realize that you exercise. But then you look down and you got a six pack and you're like ready to do a backflip. You know, and it's like that's not going to relate to everyone by any means, but it's like that's the thing that we're going to be thinking about is how can we be letting go of the objective and getting more into a balance is a great example of this. When you're focusing on balance, there's no 10 reps, come on. It's just 100% integration that how am I balancing up on this foot right now?
Right.
You know, there's so many great examples of that where it's like you have to be focused in the moment. But most, you know, cardio machines, you know, or whatever, it's like when you go to a gym and you have these $10,000 hunks of metal lying around, they're all objective based. You know, it's like it's so hard to not be objective based with that. So I would suggest getting out of that and do exactly what you're saying. You know, go for a run, get a dog, mm-hmm. you know, make a baby, you know, whatever. Hang out with friends that are active that actually genuinely challenge you. And that's the big thing. It's like if a fish is in a toxic pool, a toxic fishbowl, you know, and you're like, okay, how do we make this fish healthier? Do we feed it better? That might work, but not work because he's covered in sludge. You know, so sometimes I think what we need to do is we need to think about what's happening in our greater environment. You know, so you're in line therapy, you know, you're in my office here right now. You see, I have gymnastic rings hanging down. I have a stall bar. I have mirrors all the place. I have a climbing rope. I have TRX bands. You know, so it's all this stuff that it's there, so we use it. You know, so when clients come in, it's like, oh, what are our options? If we're in a blank room, what are our options? You know, we do blank room stuff. Right. If we're in a room with a bunch of stuff, if you have a pull-up bar in your living room, you know, or you have a gymnastics rings in your garage or whatever, you'll use it. You know, so that's kind of my suggestion with people is recognize what's the fishbowl that you're living in? How do you adjust the water that you're living in as opposed to just trying to make these finite switches in your day-to-day life. Does that make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. And, you know, it's interesting. And I know there are some people that legitimately like going to the gym, or at least they put on the air that they like going to the gym and lifting weights and going on the cardio machines and everything. And if you do, God love you, I guess. But thinking about or feeling as you were describing this kind of external focus of training is that it's probably very it's a very poor modality for kind of feeding your soul and for engagement. Whereas like dancing is very engaging. Speaking a language with a native speaker and learning that is very engaging. It just spins the little dopamine receptors in your brain and you're excited and all that. And, you know, jujitsu and snowboarding and stuff like that for me is I'm fully in the moment. Like I really don't want to do a Sonny Bono into a tree. So I you know, when I'm snowboarding, I really pay attention to what I'm doing. When you're doing jujitsu, you know, you can't be thinking about like, oh man, I have that blog post I need to do or whatever, you know, like you're in that moment or you're absolutely getting the snot beat out of you. And even when I am in that moment, I usually get the snot beat out of me, but you're right. Like an hour goes by in the blink of an eye and it's pretty incredible. No, and I totally get it.
So with that, you know, it's like there's an experiment where they had mice running in a wheel, mm-hmm. right? And so there was one group of mice where they forced those little freaking mice to run in that wheel. It's stressing the heck out. You know, they're like, I don't have as much aerobic capacity. My VO2 max, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm like, my stress hormones are through the roof because I don't want to run in this wheel, you know, but you're forcing me to. And then there's the mice that are just feeling it. And they get into the wheel and you know, and it's like that's what we need to figure out. Are you forcing yourself to run in a wheel because of some extra, you know, outside source that makes you think, because you saw the Corvette commercial with the pretty girl and the abs and the, you know, and they roll up to the mansion and the Labrador. Like, are you trying to fit into some model that's separate from yourself? Or do you genuinely enjoy doing the stuff that you're doing? You know, and I think that's the crucial thing, is getting down to genuine, you know, joie de vivre.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's like we're all these days, especially, you know, you go to any health conference, whatever, it's all self-quantification, you know, and the heart rate variability, and you got the electrodes connected to your brain. And it's like we have all this stuff quantifying this experience. The experience is infinitely bigger than that. You know, and I think that that's the thing that we need to really tap into, is like, what happens if I let go of all the quantification? And if it feels good, it's working. Right. If it feels like I'm stressing myself out and I got to be at the gym and da, 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 like, there's probably a better avenue to go.
Right.
You know, but it's like, have you ever heard of Ash conformity?
No, I have not.
Oh my God. Ash conformity is such a cool thing. It's an Ash conformity experiment. You know, and so what it was, I think it was like the late 80s, and they had an individual. There's one person that was not a part of the experiment, and then they had, you know, a teacher, and they had three other people.
So
it was like four or five, I think it may have actually been six people, but they're looking up at this projector screen, and there's a line A. And then there's three other lines beside that. One line is obviously the same size. And then the other two lines are obviously different sizes, right? So everyone's a part of the goof except for the one guy that they're done the experiment with. And what they found was about two-thirds of the time, that if everyone preceding the fella that wasn't a part of the experiment said that the obvious line was a different size, you know, so it's like, obviously A equals A, but it's actually, they're all saying like, nope, A and C are the same size. It's like, no, it's not. Two-thirds of the time, the guy will, you see him cringing, and he says, see,
right, you know? Right.
And he agrees with everybody else. That's what we're doing. You know, we're going to the gym, and we're believing that this is the thing that we need to do. You know, we're trying to fit into this model, but maybe there's some outliers out there, you know, that are okay with being judged. You know, and that's the thing, is we need as individuals to be okay with people not accepting you. But that's really, really, that's a struggle for people in our society.
Oh, it's huge. And I mean, this is some of the benefit of things like CrossFit and jujitsu and dance and stuff like that there is a strong social component to it. But so it's challenging to maintain, you know, self, and then also get all the good feels that come from that social environment. And that's a great point. So talk to folks a little bit about it clearly, being, you know, one dude in a clinic. You only have so many hours in the day. Yeah. You only have, you know, two hands, two feet, one mouth. You can only do so much. What are you doing to reach more people at this point?
Thanks for asking. So after I'd mentioned, so I had been doing, after like, I don't know how many sessions, definitely over 1,000 sessions of working with people, I realized that I was saying the same thing a lot, you know, and I'm sure you've noticed this a ton in your business, you know, it's like, you know, and so what I noticed was that, and so I started creating videos, you know, and it was still focused on clients and saying like, great, I showed you these seven techniques today. I'm going to go put those all on YouTube tonight, you know, and so you just go back and bam, there you go. No big deal. You know, and then from there, that started to go into, you got to figure out how to work with yourself at home. You know, we're paying people $140 to come in, you know, and work with this, you know, professional blah, 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 you know, and crack them in place or give you a couple rotator cuff exercises or whatever it is. And then you leave and you do exactly what you had been doing to put you in that situation in the first place. And then you come back in 2 weeks. That's a fraction of the potential progress that could be. You know, it's like fighting a tidal wave versus like a little super soaker.
Right.
You know, and so like my practice here is the super soaker. You know, I'm like getting people wet.
Right. You know?
But it means nothing if I don't connect with people at a, call it philosophical level, you know, the perspective of their selves, you know, their self-worth, their view of the world, their view of their movement practice, their view of the value of how they move through the world. You know, and so what that turned into was working with creating the self-care kit, which is foam roller, a couple different size balls, band, door anchor. I attached that. You can attach that into different levels in a door. And so you can use that to decompress joints, use that to use that as an exercise band if you want, do myofascial release with all that stuff. So what it turned into being is when people come in now, I'm more of a coach, like a movement coach. And I do hands-on work as well still. But everything that I do, anytime my elbow is in somebody's back and they're going, oh, I say, okay, this is a ball, right? And you're on your floor. And you're doing thoracic extension, and now you're doing some, you know, you're doing some side bending, and you're teaching people how to relate with their bodies. That's the thing. You know, some people, especially dancers are great with this. You know, when if you give them a ball or whatever and say, okay, I want you to get a little bit of movement in your rib cage here. I want you to start to work around anterior serratus and kind of like unglue all that stuff. Because I promise you, if you dig your hand into the back of a scapula with most people, it's just crud in there. Right. You know, because we're held into this forward flex position. You know, so if you give someone that knows how to work well in their body a ball and say, okay, do this, do that, do that, they get into it and they're like, oh, right. Yeah, I got this. They show amazing results quick. Someone that just sits in place and stagnates all day long and is doing everything they can to separate from their body because it hurts when they think about it, that person does not have the sophistication to guide their ship to a better place, right? So now what I'm really intrigued by is more of like a compass. Mm-hmm. You know, so when people come and see me, I touch people a whole lot less and I talk a whole lot more. You know, and it's more about this is what you can do for the rest of the week. This is what, you know, you're going to do this for, 30 minutes a day or whatever it is, you know, and then when you pick up your baby, this is how you're going to pick your baby up. When you chop your carrots, this is how you're going to chop your carrots. When you sit in your car, you're going to have this lumbar support thing and you're going to, you know, one of the things that I say, is it okay if I swear? I don't need to swear.
Absolutely. Nope. We're explicit. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So one of the things that I say is like when you're driving your car, make your car your bitch. You know, like dominate that thing. Open up, you know, raise your rear view mirror up to a higher level. Raise it up an inch more than what you normally have it, right? Open up your chest. Bring your shoulders back. You know, occupy that whole entire space. Get a manual car. Why not? You know, like have more connection with that system. You know, more movement as you're driving that car. Crank your music up. Have fun.
Right.
You know, like make that experience not just this, oh, you know, this trudge. You know, I've heard so many people say that it feels like my car drives me to work. Oh, you know, that's unacceptable.
Right.
You know, that's your life.
Right.
You know, and so it's like we need to figure out how do we make every moment I occupy this space. This space does not occupy me. You know, and you can see when people with the text neck and all that stuff, we call it, you know, it's like upper cross syndrome is a fancier term for it, where your head is jutting forward. And then they, you know, all sorts of ridiculous statistics where it's like, well, every inch your head goes forward, it's an extra 10 pounds or whatever. You know, it's like we have all this unnecessary stress on our body because our bodies are fit to a system that isn't natural to our species. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because I'm working on this risk assessment program and we're trying to figure out how we take what we do in the clinic with sleep, food, exercise, gut microbiota and everything and figure out how to scale that up and take it to the masses. And so it sounds like we're probably on very parallel courses with that. You know, it's one thing to have a brick and mortar setting and have some efficacy in what you're doing. And it's a whole other thing to be able to reach some folks that maybe don't have someone like you immediately available. So how do we provide resources so that they can start, you know, peeling the onion of better food, better sleep, better movement, and take better care of themselves. But then also having some sort of a practitioner network, it seems very, very valuable in that. And it seems like you're heading down that road too, because you have a certification as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's what I'm doing. Oh, with teaching people how to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so teaching people about how to teach people. Right. You know, that's how we start working exponentially. You know, and Yeah, so the certification that I'm doing with that now, right now I'm actually focusing on more just teaching people how to work with themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so the next certification course that I have isn't until next year.
Okay.
You know, but so right now, like, I'm going out to London and we're going to Health Unplugged. Are you familiar with that?
There's
like
a paleo
thing out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just doing a ton of workshops with people, you know, and really, really working with communicating to masses about that, you know. But as of now, with the actual certification program, I don't really want to get into it because it's not something that's like people can go and, you
gotcha.
Know,
okay.
grab up right now. But what I am doing is creating a ton of content,
nice.
You know, a ton of free content, and creating these tools and creating these videos, you know, and really just giving people opportunity that if you're sitting at your house and you don't have $140 to go down and see whoever, you know, you can jump on, you know, whatever, you know, my website's a great resource. There's a mobility wide. Kelly Starrett's great with this. Mm-hmm. You know, Katie Bowman's great with this. There's so many people that are great with this, you know, and that's the beautiful thing with the internet. You know, it's like you're not dependent. If you live in a podunk town, you know, all you have is like one yoga instructor that got their certification on YouTube or whatever. And like, they're the source, you know, it's like we have the internet now.
Right.
You know, so we could literally bring the best minds literally around Earth together into one place. And I kind of felt like you were getting into something like almost creating like a network of professionals to help people with that. I think that would be a really fantastic thing.
That's the goal. We would like to have a soup to nuts practitioner network that ranges from movement and strength and conditioning and integrates with allied healthcare providers and doctors. And the goal is that you know, in the process of this certification that, you know, instead of a client or patient going to their coach and the coach saying the doctor doesn't know what they're doing, or the doctor saying the coach doesn't know what they're doing, you know, if we're all kind of on this same evolutionary template, clearly folks are going to have different ways of going about doing some specific things, but more than not, we're on the same page, and there's more cohesive action versus territorial pissing and stuff like that. So that's the goal. We'll see how it rolls out. Yeah.
Well, imagine how cool it would be if every time you go to see your MD, you know, you also have a PT there, you also have an acupuncturist, you also have a structural body worker, you also have a nutritionist, you also have all these specialists of sorts in the same room. And not only do you have them in the same room, but they're all talking to each other, you know, and that's the thing. When you go see a knee specialist, you know, he knows everything about that knee.
Right.
Right. You know, but does he know about the foot and the relation to the knee? Does he know how to do a functional squat? Does he know how to functionally pick something off the ground? Hopefully, you know, but it's not necessarily his job. His job is to be amazing at this surgery.
Right.
You know, but beyond that, it's like, what do I do? There's so many people that I get, and they, you know, whatever, they'll roll an ankle or break an ankle or something like that. They're wearing the boot for 6 weeks, and they come out of that. They go to see a PT. They get a couple band exercises, and then that's it. You know, and that's my background. I dislocated my ankle when I was like 16 playing basketball. It was horrendous. You know, and it was something that I'm still dealing with in my body today because I had the worst guidance. I wore the boot way too long. You know, all these things that if I could go back and talk to myself, you know, I would have so much to say. You know, and that's a big part. It's like you don't meet a lot of psychologists that aren't a little crazy, or like physical therapists that haven't dealt with some weird body stuff. You know, for me, it's like been about this journey of figuring out how to work with myself and how do we integrate all of these minds together. You know, I think that's the really crucial component. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting, and love to see you in that. So we'll see how all this stuff goes.
Talk about it more. Yeah.
Yeah. And Aaron, where can, speaking of the internet, where can folks track you down on the interwebs, Facebook, Twitter, main website, all that stuff?
The best place is aligntherapy.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And then from there, the Align podcast, that's my favorite thing to do in the world. And you are on the Align podcast.
I brought down property values on the Align podcast. Yep. Yeah, that'll be going up.
You ruined the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I actually haven't released your episode yet. So let me know when you're going to release this, and then I can release that at the same time. If people want to hear what you have to say, which I would rather listen to you talk than me talk any day.
I've heard me talk a lot. I like listening to you talk. That's why I try to figure out questions that are as succinct and as leading as possible, so I get a lot out of you. So
right, yeah. Absolutely. Awesome, but yeah, man. So aligntherapy.com, that's the website. From there, I have the Twitter and the Facebook and all that stuff. And I have links to literally, I have over 300 videos on how to move and just
nice.
Kind of go a little bit beyond movement and self-care, utilizing balls, bands, foam rollers, stuff that you can go down to any pet store and grab, or you can jump onto my website and I have all the stuff for sale as well in the self-care kit. So with that, and then the Align Podcast, those are the two best places I got.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll have all that stuff in the show notes. It was great having you on the Paleo Solution Podcast, and it was only maybe like 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago that we recorded with your show.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So yeah. Let me know when you're gonna put this out and we can put them out at the same time so people can hopefully hop over.
We will do it. Well, Aaron, really fun having you on the show. I'm going to start thinking about how to modify my day-to-day regimen and try to emulate tackling a mastodon so that I get my cardio for jits, but do it in a way that doesn't make me want to blow my brains out at the same time. So
absolutely. Yeah, cool. Thank you so much, man. I'll see you soon.
Awesome, man. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Cheers.